Good to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I think many of our youth are out there helping today. Look, what I want to share today is certainly applicable for young people, young adults, but really for every one of us, and really talking about that whole area of identity. And so I just want to share about this morning, but let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're already so aware of your holy presence, Lord, that you're with us even now. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, that you speak into every one of our hearts, Lord, that because we want to grow in you, Lord, we want to change, Lord. And so, Father, we open our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. One of the questions that gets asked to a lot of children in particular, but also maybe to some young people as well, and the question is, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? And as a child, you probably asked that many, many times. What are you going to be when you grow up? And I think, like most boys, I think at one stage, I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be a captain of the Australian cricket team at one time. I wanted to be a soccer player. A whole lot of different things that I wanted to be. If you're some of you ladies might have wanted, I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a doctor, or all the different things. What are you going to be when you grow up? And all these things that we go and we maybe chop and change, and as a part of that process of growing up. And but I want to talk a little bit about that, because it's actually is the right question. The right question is what are you going to be when you grow up? Now, we all want to grow up, don't we? We want to keep on growing. And as Paul said, not that I've made it. So we all are still growing. And as a church, we're a growth church because we want to grow, and we want to grow to be everything that God has made us to be. And so we want to keep on growing. But what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, that is actually the right question. It is a good question. What do you want to be when you grow up? The problem is that it's the right question, but we give the wrong answer. Because when we're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? We answer that with what we want to do. And the two different things. What am I going to be when I grow up, and what am I going to do when I grow up, are two different things. And we've got to make sure that we don't confuse those together, because it's all to do. If we do mix those things up, then we're going to confuse our identity, because our identity will be caught up in the things that we are doing rather than who we actually are. And then people get all caught up in that. And you find that when you have a lot of guys that have found their identity in their job, in their work, in their career, what they've done, and they come to retirement, and it seems to be gone. And it seems that now I've lost my identity, I've lost who I am. But you might be a younger person, and if you find your identity in what you're doing, and all of a sudden that is taken away for whatever reason, you can have this big crisis. Who am I? Oh, no. And because we've got things in the wrong way. And if we confuse these things together, if we get confused on that, if we don't get this right in terms of the kind of person I'm going to be as opposed to what I'm going to do, we're going to struggle in our relationships. And there's a lot of relational problems that people have because they've got that mixed up. They haven't got their identity clear. And so it'll affect your relationship. It's certainly going to affect your work. It'll affect every area of your life if you don't have that together. Even in our Christian walk, we can actually, if we get that wrong, it's going to cause all sorts of problems for us, as the scripture will throw up there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23. It says, many will say to me on that day, what's that day? The day when the Lord is coming again. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Pretty impressive resume, isn't it? In your name, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not, in your name, perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so people, even in the life of ministry, who get their whole definition of what they're doing in ministry, is a dangerous place to be, that the identity is found in what you're doing. Even in the things of God, even in serving God, we can be in a very dangerous place if our identity is confused, and we get confused about, I am defined by what I do. You're not defined by what you do. You're defined by who you are, and who you are will actually let you do something. But your identity is not found in what we do. We need to make sure that we get that right. So what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be? What are you going to be? Now, that's a great question. It is the right question, but it's actually probably the fourth question that we should be asking. And there's three really important questions that we'd have to deal with and have to get right if we're going to have the right answer to the number four question. We all jumped to number four because when we were a little child as five, the first thing someone said to me, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I think that's the question, you know, and really what people are asking us, they're asking us, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? And it's important, doesn't matter how old of you are, because you've all got some life left, whatever, however long it is. What are you going to do with that life that you have left? If you're younger, hopefully you've got more. If you're older, well, we pray that God will extend that all the more. But what are you going to do? What are we going to do with that, what we've got? So there's four questions. Let's not answer number four before you've answered one, two, and three. We need to get that right. Let's turn to John 15. And it's a passage that we're all very familiar with about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. And it starts off with Jesus saying, so it's in John chapter 15 and from verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do from nothing. You can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And I want to just draw some things from this passage, a familiar passage. Probably the most fundamental, important part of this passage is, and when we're talking about identity, is that our identity actually comes from the vine. It doesn't come from the fruit. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our identity comes from the vine. It doesn't come from the fruit. Who we are is rooted in Christ. It's because of Christ. Everything that we are comes from Christ. It's not because of the fruit. The definition of who you are is found in the vine. It's not found in the fruit. So that's something that we need to learn right from the beginning. That's where our identity is found. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ. In Christ alone is where we find our identity. It's not found in the fruit. And as it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. 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 Get to the end of your life, and if you've lived your life apart from Christ, and you look back upon your life, and what is it? Nothing. What have you done? Nothing. What have you accomplished? Nothing. Who are you? Nothing. But in Christ, if I'm in Christ, then I'm actually something, and what I've accomplished is actually going to be fruitful, and it actually then, but it's for the Father's glory. Not trying to build a monument to myself. Absalom got the end of his life. And Absalom had done nothing. He left no legacy. And so what he did, he built himself a little monument. And what did he call the monument? Absalom's monument. Want to be remembered for something? No. We want to find our definition in Christ. And so our identity is from the vine. It's not from the fruit. And it's so important we understand that. We've got to find our identity in Christ, because everything else in this life can be stripped away from us. Everything can be stripped away. You can lose your health. You can lose relationships. You can lose your job. You can lose a whole lot of stuff around you. But if your identity is found in Jesus Christ, then you will stand, and you will stand, and you will be secure. We've got to find it in Jesus Christ. In Christ alone is where we find our identity. And so we're going to get to this question. The question is, what are you going to be when you grow up? Well, we're going to get to that. Question number four. But let's have a look at question number one. And that's really important starting point, because if I want to get to the end of my life and say, Lord, I've been fruitful and I can praise God for that, it's because I got the first three questions right. And I want to get the first three questions right before I worry about question number four. And the first question that we need to ask when we're talking about our identity is who does God say I am? Who does God say I am? Who does God say I am? Because I tell you what, people are going to tell you, a lot of people will tell you who you are. They'll tell you who you are, all right? So you might have, your parents may have been good parents, they may have been dysfunctional because of their own heartbreak and dysfunction and whatever it is. And so they might have told you a whole lot of stuff. You might have had so-called friends at school who were a friend one moment, the next minute they're stabbing you in the back, and they would have told you a whole lot of stuff. You might have had a teacher that told you you're this, or you told, a lot of people will tell you who you are. You drive in the car and you cut someone off, tell you what, they'll be telling you who you are. They'll be telling you are with a lot of accompanying gestures and all sorts of signs and wonders going on as well. And so people are very quick to tell you who you are, but who does God say I am? Who does God say I am? Not with some marketer, some advertiser. Who does God say? And that's the first question that I need to answer. Who does God say I am? Now you read through scripture and God will tell you a whole lot of things. He'll tell you because of Jesus Christ, you know, that we are forgiven. Amen. That we are loved and that we're overcomers and that we're free. And there's a whole list of, we go on and on and on, all the things that we are. But to me, the thing that hits me the most and goes right into my heart, deepest into my heart, is to know that I am a child of God. That I am a child of God. And that's what the Bible says. It says in Galatians 3:26, so in Christ Jesus. So apart from Christ, you're nothing, but you've done nothing. But in Christ, so in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. And the Bible says, I'm a child of God. And if everything else gets stripped away from me, at the end of the day, what do I have? I have a Father in heaven who loves me with everything that he is and loves me completely, totally accepts me. Don't have to prove myself to him. Don't have to do anything to make him proud of me. He just loves me completely and totally. I am a child of God. What an amazing thing that is. Who does God say you are? Number one, know that you are a child of God. You belong to him. I am God's child. And that actually is so important because that's part of shaping the parameters of which I live my life and the decisions and the choices I make, because I know that I am a child of God and no one can take that away from me. Doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you do, you can't take that away from me. No one can take that away from you. You are a child of God. You belong to God. You are his child. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. No one or nothing is going to mess with that. The devil's not going to touch that. Don't let him try to dissuade you. Don't let him try to put you down and tell you you're useless, you're hopeless, you're worthless, you're a failure. They're this rubbish. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. And we need to know that, because if you're going to worry about what you're going to be when you grow up or what you're going to do, know who you are. Who does God say you are? And there's something else that the Lord reminds us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 in the last part of verse 19 and beginning of verse 20. It says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. And that's always a sobering thing for me when I think, okay, well, God says I'm his child. And if I'm his child, then I belong to him. I'm not my own. He paid for me. He paid for me with the price of his son, whose own blood was shed on the cross. And therefore, knowing that, I'm not really my own. I actually belong to God. I'm his child. And I was bought with a price. And that's going to temper, okay, how do I live my life? Because there's a whole lot of stuff I might want to run off and do. A whole lot of things I might want to run off and enjoy and do all of this and that stuff. But hang on, I've got to always remember, hang on, I'm not my own. I'm a child of God. I'm his child. And he has a claim on my life. He's given me everything. He's given me life. He's given me hope. He's given me freedom. He's given me salvation. I'm not my own. I was paid by the very blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's something that I want to remember when I'm looking at my life and saying, what am I going to do when I grow up? What am I going to be when I grow up? Well, I know who I am already at the beginning, that I am in Christ. My identity is found in Christ, that we are in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, we're all children of God, and you're not your own. You were bought with a price. And so that's the first thing we need to know. What does God say about you? Everyone's going to say a whole lot of junk about you. Forget the junk. It's junk. Listen to what God says about you. Who does God say that you are? So that's the first thing I want to resolve. What does God say about me? Because if I don't have that right, then I can do everything else, skipping off into the sunset, nothing. No. I want to know who I am in God. I want to know who I am in God, and I want to walk in that. So that's the first question. The second question we need to ask ourselves is, well, what kind of person do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? That's a really important question. what kind of person you want to be. Because you could argue that Hitler was a great leader. You could say that he did incredible things for the economy of a country that was totally devastated, that he united people together. But he was probably one of the most wicked, if not the most wicked, heinous villains that has ever walked on the face of this planet. Because what kind of person was he? And that's the thing that we've always got to watch ourselves too, because you can do a whole lot of stuff. You can do some incredible stuff. But if you're not the right kind of person, then you're in a lot of trouble. And it's amazing how history will quickly erase. If you could do 10,000 good things, and if you did one really bad thing, what are you going to be remembered for? You're going to be remembered for that. We've had some prime ministers that have done some fantastic stuff, but they've done some, you know, they might do some stupid blunder. And what do they get remembered for? Their stupid blunder. Because maybe their character wasn't there. Maybe they had vision. Maybe they had drive, imagination, creativity, got the team together, whatever, but there's something wrong with their character. Something not right within them. The kind of person they were was not the right kind of person. We need to resolve what kind of person that you are. What kind of person do you want to be? So what does God say? Who does God say I am? What kind of person? Number two, what kind of person am I going to be? And one day someone will stand up, and it might be on this platform, it might be another one, and they will stand there and they're going to bring there and then give a eulogy of you, give you a eulogy of your life. Now just think about that for the moment. In fact, what would be an interesting challenge is to actually sit down and try to write your own eulogy. What would you want written in your eulogy? What do you want people to say? You know, do you want them to say, look, he was fantastic. He made 10,000 sales a month. He was the slickest in marketing we've ever had. Is that really how you want to be remembered? It's the kind of person. You know, you want people to say that you're a loving husband, that you're a loving father. You want people to talk about the kind of person that you are. And maybe think about that. You know, what is your eulogy? If you wrote your eulogy now, well, then maybe think, well, what kind of eulogy would I really want if there's a gap there, if something needs to change in our own heart? What kind of person that we want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? And it said in the passage that we read, he said, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And as believers, that's the kind of person we want to be. If we are connected to the vine, a branch has to be like the vine. It has to be what it's connected to. It's a part of it, and the life flows out of it, and it looks like that. It's a part of it, belongs to that. And that's the life that we want to live. That's the life that we want to have. We want to show ourselves to be his disciples. We want to be Christ-like. Really, that's our heart. If we want to be everything God made us to be, then the kind of people we want to be, what do we want to be? We want to be Christ-like. We want to be like Jesus. Now, I don't want to do everything that Jesus did. Honestly, I don't. I don't want to die on a cross, okay? But I want to be like Jesus. I want to have his heart. You know, the question people say, oh, what would Jesus do? It's also a wrong question. Question is what would Jesus have you do? That's probably the better question in the situation. But we want to be like Christ. And so if I want to be like Christ, then there's a certain way that I want to live my life. There's certain values that will be in my heart. And so I'll read the Word of God and I'll get the values of the kingdom of God, the heartbeat of God, and I want to template those things and build those things into my life. And not that I'll ever say I've done that and I'm perfect. Paul said, not that I've made it, I'm still... But that's the kind of person I want to be. And so I want the fruits of the Spirit to come. I want to have love, joy, peace, faithfulness. And I want to be compassionate and a whole lot of different things. I want to be kind and I want to be faithful and all of these things. I want to build these things into my heart. This is the kind of person I want to be. And I want to be one that is a God-honoring one. It says, this is for my Father's glory. That's the kind of person that we want to be. So that's who I want to be. And that's really, really important, because if you know the kind of person you want to be, that's certainly going to have a big impact on what you do. Because I tell you that the bank robbers, they may be brilliant. They may get away with millions. These days, maybe billions. But is that consistent? Being the world's greatest ever bank robber doesn't wash up with question number two, does it? It doesn't. What kind of person that we want to be. We want to be ones that show ourselves to be His disciple. It is so important what kind of person you want to do, what you want to be. What kind of person? Forget about what you're going to do, what kind of person. Because people miss it because they don't know who they are in Christ, but then they don't know, or they don't live their life with sober judgment, as the scripture says, reflecting on, okay, is what I'm doing consistent with that? Now, some things that, you know, whether you're a truck driver, you know, is that godly being a truck driver? Of course it is. If it's a truck driver and you're high on drugs and you're driving at 500 miles an hour, no, it's probably not a good thing. But it's not much, it's the kind of person that you are. And actually, that is really important, helping shaping the things that we do, because we can do a whole lot of stuff, but it's the kind of person. Is what we want to do, is that consistent with the values, with the kind of person I want to be? So I want to work that out, first of all. If you're younger or whether you're older, what kind of person do you want to be? Because when you're writing your eulogy, or someone else is writing that eulogy, what do you want them to write in there? You did a whole bunch of stuff. Who cares what you did? No one's going to remember. No one's going to remember. Everyone, you know, Steve Smith, fantastic. And I think, oh, he's greatest since Don Bradman. But I don't know anything about Don Bradman other than he had 99.94 batting average. Well, okay, fine. And you can do a whole lot of stuff, but who's going to remember anything? They'll remember who you are. And it's important, because if you get your identity right, then you can start to get into your destiny. And if you get your destiny right, then you can get to a place where you can actually leave a legacy that actually has an eternal impact and actually makes a difference. And so I want to get this values thing right. What kind of person do I want to be? So what does God say who I am? And then what kind of person do I want to be? It's really important, because that's going to frame my life and my identity. What kind of person do I want to be? I want to show myself to be His disciple. That's the kind of people that we want to be, and that's our cry, that's our heart. Third question, and this is another really important question, not the last question though. It's not about what you're going to do. Third question, you've got to get this one right as well. We need to understand this one. And this next question is, how has God made me? How has God made me? How has God made me? I'll tell you right at the very beginning, God has made you with fruit-bearing potential. Every one of us has been made very special. God has made you. He doesn't make mistakes. He didn't know, oh, hang on, there's 10 good ones and then there's a... No, God made us and He doesn't make mistakes. He's made us with fruit-bearing potential. It says in Psalm 139:14, I praise You because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Did you know you're wonderful? You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Some of you are going, I know. Some of you are going, no, 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 not me. You are. You're wonderful. You are wonderful. The scripture says you're wonderful. And I know that full well. You need to know that. You need to know that, that God has made you beautifully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. I know that. I know that full well. Know that. That God has made you, but also He's made you totally unique. He's totally unique. You look at a vine and look at the branches, and the branches here look a little bit similar, but if you actually to measure the little nodes and where they were and all the positions, actually they're all different. They're all different. And generally they might look the same from the outside, but if you look closely, you'll see that they're different. We've all been made different, and I praise God for that. I praise God for that, because if everyone was me, every garden in this world would be dead. We are all different. God has made us all different, and I praise Him and I'm so grateful for that. And so we need to know that we are different and not try to be anyone or any like anybody else, because you find this huge pressure to conform and try to be like everyone else and do and accomplish. But whatever they did, they can only do that if they really know who they are in Christ and they've worked through what kind of person. But then you see, well, how has God made me? Because we are all completely different. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ, the beauty of the diversity of the body of Christ, because we're all different. If we're all the same, the scripture says, if everyone was an eye, well, yeah, you can't hear anything, can you? And we're all different, and I praise God for that, that we are all different. And it says in Romans 12:6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And so we are all different. How has God made me? And you need to look at your own self and say, well, how has God made me? What desires do I have in my life? What things move me? If I see something, if I hear something, what stirs compassion in my heart? What challenges me? What inspires me? What is it? What are the desires in my heart? Now, you can't have anyone answer that for you. You need to find that, but it's easier to find that once you know who you are in Christ, know that you're a child of God and what God says of you, and then you know what kind of person that you want to be, and then you have a look at your desires and the dreams that you have in your heart. And now a way to test those desires and dreams, and think, oh, is this just my idea or is this God's idea? Well, then I can go back to question number two. And if it's not inconsistent with number two, if it doesn't violate my values, if it doesn't not give God glory, if it's not something that is sinful or is damaging or harmful in that way, then I can answer question number three and say, well, that's a desire. Now, actually, this is consistent with who God is, you know, what God says about me. It's consistent with my values. I'm not going to compromise my values in doing that. I'm not going to commit a crime. I'm not going to put other people down. I'm not going to get my attitude wrong. I'm not going to have bad attitude or whatever. No, this is a desire. And so I can filter that through the first two questions. That really helps me. I can filter that. And then so how has God made me? Now, only you can answer that. And there's things that we can do to help. And if anyone's not sure on what some of the things, and to Pastor Noel, he's our serving director, if you wanted to look in context of a church. But I'm talking more broader than that in how has God made me? What do I like doing? What do I enjoy doing? What as I said, what stirs my heart? What motivates me? Looking at those things, you know, if there's circumstances and you think, yeah, either can we need to change that, or we could fix that, or we could do something with that. But God has made you unique, and he's made you beautifully, wonderfully made, and he's also put some things in your heart. So we need to search our hearts, but in context of number one and number two. And so that's the first three questions is, who does God say that I am? What kind of person do I want to be? And how has God made me? Well, we've got the first three settled. The trouble is everyone wants to jump to number four, and you see broken relationships, you see broken lives, you see people that are empty, frustrated and lonely and a whole lot of stuff because they jumped to number four without looking at the first three questions. Number four is the real question. It's not really what I'm going to be. It's what am I going to do? What am I going to do with my life? Because God has made each one of us with this desire to make a difference. And that difference might be in shaping and molding your children and encouraging them, teaching them about the things of God and make a huge difference there. It could be a whole lot of different ways that we could outwork that. But what am I going to do? The scripture that we read, it says that we're going to bear much fruit. And God's called every one of us to bear much fruit. Now, that's going to look a whole lot different in a whole lot of different settings. There's in a church setting, yes. There's in your work setting, yes. There's in your family setting. What does that look like, bearing fruit in those things? And so, and you can do a secular thing, which is still 100% in God's will and heart for you because you've got everything else lined up. It's God who says I am. It's consistent with my heart, my values, the kind of person I want to be. It's consistent with the way God has made me. The way that he's imparted into me, and Romans 12, that list of the motivational gifts, the things that God has put in us, the things that motivate us, stir us. And now I can begin to look at the question, well, what am I going to do? And that really is the question, what am I going to be when I grow up? It's really, what am I going to do with my life? And the scripture just says this in Colossians 3:17, and it says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, and it's not prescribing what we should do. A real prescription on the Bible of how what we should do is, well, we should all be loving. We should be loving. Don't be a pig. Be loving, all right? We all need to be loving. We all need to be sharing our faith, every one of us. If you're not sure what to do, share your faith. Scripture tells us that it's clear that we are ambassadors for Christ, and there's a whole lot of stuff we should do. Yeah, we should serve one another in love. Yeah, we should do that. Those things are things that we should do. But maybe in terms of your career choice or your work situation, maybe you found yourself you're going along nicely and then bang, it's interrupted. Now, what do I do? Well, that's okay. I'm not going to start on question four again. I'm just going to go back or revisit question number one again, and I'll come back to number two and work through number three, and then I'll let the Lord show me number four, because the Lord will actually help us with that. He will help us with it. But we can struggle with it if we're still got this whole other stuff that isn't right. We're going to struggle with this. And, you know, it's amazing. I remember when I went to uni that, you know, I was doing a course, and I only ever did accounting because I was good at it. I mean, I knew what God wanted me to do since I was 8 years of age, is when God called me to be a minister, to serve him full-time with my life. I knew that from eight, but I also knew that I'm going to have to eat as well. And so I did accounting. Why did I do accounting? Simply because I was good at it. I didn't even particularly enjoy it, but I was good at it. And I knew that I needed to do something as a means to an end. Ultimately, I wanted to serve the Lord with my life. And so I did that. And God had given me ability in that area. And so I just ran with that. And actually, I did enjoy parts of it. I didn't like a month end. Every month had to end and all through everything again, big cycle. But there was always the last, from the middle of the month to the last month, I had 2 weeks where I could be creative and do stuff. So that was some good times. So what am I going to do? Was being an accountant, doing accounting, was that consistent? Well, it didn't. Who I am in Christ, I was secure in that. And in terms of my values, well, I was very honest in what I was doing. Nothing under the books. I remember when I went and uncovered that the managing director of the company was paying renovations for his home, and dodgy invoices were coming through. And so I went and I confronted him. And he just smugly sat back, folded his arms, and said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And I remember then, as a hyperventilating 22-year-old, going off to the head office, corporate head office, to the bigwigs, and telling them which was going on. And I was so, I'd prayed the whole way, and they just said, "It's all right, just calm down, just tell us the situation." And so I did. But so what I did in that role, it was still consistent with my values. And it was a gift that God had gave me, and so I did it. And when I did it, I want to glorify God in that. And it was amazing after that incident, that boss, and they didn't sack him, they made him pay back. It was only $20,000. $20,000 going back so 30 years ago. How much is that? I don't know. Anyway, but he, because he was really good at what he did, he just, his value stuff hadn't been worked through, they let him stay. But him and I then actually became quite close. He took me for a drive in his Porsche, and I've never done 140 Ks in second gear before. And man, it was quite amazing. But anyway, that's another story. But what you're doing here, it doesn't have to look like, oh, I'm going to be a pastor, even though I knew that's what God had called me to do. But whatever it is, we're not all called to be pastors. I praise God for that. And nothing will get done, would it? I mean, in terms of, you know, there'd be no electricity, there'd be no one running the sound, no one playing the drums, no one in whatever. God has made us different. And so what you do in this environment doesn't have to look like a Christian thing. It just has to be by a Christian person with a Christian heart. That identity is found in Christ, who has a value system that's shaped and molded by the kingdom of God, who has a particular passion and a heart and a motivation. And what they're doing here, over here, it is all for the glory of God. Not because they want to, you know, not draw attention to themselves. They want the name of Jesus Christ to be glorified. And it may be because you're the best accountant that ever lived, you know, but you say, no, I'm good at this, being an accountant, because I give God all the glory and I'm not trying to, whatever it is. And whatever this looks like is always gone through. And so if you want to show back, probably one slide back a bit, probably. Really, what am I going to do? It's filtered through those first three. That's the filter. And so who does God say I am? What kind of person do I want to be? You've got to ask that question. You really need to know that answer to that. What kind of a person do I want to be? What do you want to be? How do you want to be remembered? You want to be remembered because you built Absalom's monument? Or do you want to be someone that people remember because of the quality of your life, who you are? And then finally, where it says, How has God made me? What has he put into my heart? That we, and then you resolve that. And everything that you do here comes through that filter. And if we can get that together, then you're going to start to bear much fruit. And the scripture talks about fruit, that fruit's going to remain, fruit that's going to last, fruit that actually makes a difference, fruit that actually has some kind of a legacy attached to that, because when we get our identity right, it flows through every part of our lives. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good amen. You can stand up then. Well done. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you love us, Lord. And Father, that your heart is for us. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you say that we are your children. Lord, let us never for one second forget that we are your children. Lord, that you love us so much, Lord, that with everything else is stripped away, we are children of the living God. We have Christ dwelling within our heart. And Father, help us always to stand on it, because, Lord, that is the unshakable truth, Lord. And if there's anybody here today, Lord, that hasn't got that part of their life right, Lord, haven't got the foundation right in Jesus Christ, they haven't accepted you, Lord, and the forgiveness that you bring of our sin, that you bring us into relationship with the Father to be his child, Lord, I pray, help them this day to reconcile that, Lord, to come and have the courage and say, I've got to get that right. And Father, for each one of us, Lord, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'd be ones who want to show ourselves to be your disciples. Lord, that our aim and desire is to be like Jesus, to be Christ-like. Lord, that's our heart. And Lord, being like Jesus, Lord, having the same heart, Lord, Lord, let that be the something that permeates through us, Lord, and then regulates everything that we do. And Father, the motivation, Lord, help us to tap into the desires and the dreams and the passions and the giftings and the talents that you've put in us. Because, Lord, we are beautifully and wonderfully made. And Lord, that we can run with that. And Father, whatever we may do, Lord, whatever that looks like, Lord, let it be for your glory. Lord, that we're here to bring glory to you, Lord, to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, help us, every one of us, or whether we're young or whether we're old, Lord, to have our identity firmly found in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just want to honor you this day. Father, just bless your people, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.